Morning. Good morning. 7:43 a.m. on August the 13th, Thursday, 2015. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I'll look, just make sure. Thursday, August 13th, 7:42 a.m. Okay, well, whatever. It's, the official number is like 66 something. I'm an hour late this morning because I overslept. I slept, instead of getting up at 5, I slept until nearly 6. And I wasn't awake. I'm still not awake. I was just barely crawling. And by the time I realized what time it was, I sort of had to wait around. Today is trash day and also recycle day, so I had to put the recycles on the trash out. And they needed to be out at 7, so I waited until a couple minutes past 7 before I opened the garage door and started waking people in the house up. So I was a little late getting out. Still not awake. Holy crap. Very rough night. I was not a good sleep night. I guess it was a very busy day. It was a very frustrating day. It was a very aggravating day. But I made my 5K. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I made my 5K. It's 60,000 words in the work in progress. It's picking up steam. I don't know. The reality is I could end this book as soon as I find the ending. I have no idea where the ending of this book is because I don't really know what the title of this book is. That would help me if I knew. But I don't really have a good picture in my mind of what this series is going to look like. So coming up with the individual titles within the series is somewhat problematic, and it's something that I haven't had to deal with. Because between the show books and Tanith, I pretty much knew, I might not know exactly what the title was, but I had some idea of what the title was, where the series was going. This one I have only a very rough idea. And I'm not 100% sure I know. In fact, I am 100% sure that I have no idea. So that's kind of problematic, because I don't know where this book will end. I don't know exactly where the next book will begin. I don't know where the book after that is, and what the criteria are for that book, those two books. Other than I have a rough idea. Well, I guess that's not true then. I have a rough idea of where I want the Ishmael series to be when I get to the last one. But it's only rough. It's only... it's only a sort of half-formed, vague notion. So alpha reader feedback on the first 30K is very positive. I'm pleased. My concern with this first book in particular is that it's kind of navel-gazery. It's a lot of Ishmael questioning his past, questioning his present, and by extension his future. It's like, who am I? What am I doing? What have I done? Does any of this matter? And On the one hand, it's like, oh, really? Are we going to go there? The other part of it is, I've been sort of pretty careful about keeping things real, about keeping things in a place where just, you know, people can relate. And he's in a place where a lot of people can't relate because he's a multimillionaire. But he's still prone to the same sorts of self-doubt and questioning. And in his case, even more so, perhaps, than others. Because he sees himself as responsible for the death of people close to, well, a person close to him, of Greta. He sees himself responsible for that. Not that he killed her, but that violating his personal code and allowing her on board, allowing her to get close to him, and then after that she dies. So, yeah, there's a certain level of, there's a goodly sized level of self-doubt, of a kind of, good morning. And then there's the reality. He's 40, and he's due for a passage. I mean, if you're not familiar with the term passage, it was coined. I think it was it Gail Sheehy, who wrote the book Passages. I haven't read it in a very long time, but it seems that we all go through these sort of periodic reevaluations of our lives, where we begin to question the decisions that we've made and evaluate where we are against where we think we might like to be. And we start second guessing, and we start tearing down old structures and building new ones to take care of our new expectations of what we want from our lives. These are called passages, and they happen about every 10 years, every decade. And Ishmael hasn't really had one. So this is sort of a delayed passage for him. This hiatus between what has happened in the past and what is about to happen in the future. And so there's a certain part of the story that's like, okay, this is we're going back to the original first book of Ishmael coming of age, where he's recovering from his loss. He's thinking about where he's been. He's thinking about what he might like to do. And because he's actually been someplace, he's got more to think about. I tell my therapist about the Ishmael Wong in therapy. She laughed. Yeah, I should mow the lawn today again. I still haven't. But the truth is, it's way too hot. It's going to be 95 plus today. It's already heating up really, really well. 66 degrees when I started out. I think it's a lot warmer than that now. I wasn't walking very fast. I'm not awake, so. Getting myself moving was just shambling along was a minor achievement on my part. It's irrigation day as well as trash day, so the lawn has been soaked and is still in the process of being soaked down for the day. In theory, I could go out and mow it perhaps this afternoon, but it's going to be nearly 100 out there. So yeah, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to go up and stuff up. Maybe tomorrow. Oh, this is going to be fun. I just made the eastern turn here, and it's I'll have a bit of shade here and there, but that sun is warm. Gosh, it's well up. I wanted to get up and see the Perseids this morning, but I had such a crappy night that it was sunrise before I actually, well, not quite, but it was very nearly sunrise by the time I crawled out of bed, and so I didn't get out, which is kind of a shame. Post. Ah, and some shade. There we go. So yesterday I was mostly engrossed in the story. I had a lot of interruptions. We had massive day of interruptions yesterday in terms of having to deal with wife and kids and errands and deliveries and all kinds of stuff. So I didn't really get too far down the rabbit hole of social media yesterday. There wasn't anything that really grabbed me. Oh, and I say that, and then it occurs to me. No, actually there was. There was. There's a phrase that's been wandering around for apparently a year, maybe longer. The phrase is hybrid publisher. Hybrid publisher. And somebody who always manages to find the thing that's going to make me go, are you kidding me? Had an interview with one of these hybrid publishers. And I'm looking at this interview, and I'm looking at this hybrid publisher's perspective on the industry, and the question that got tagged onto the end, was, knowing what you know about this model, would you consider doing business with this publisher? And the answer is, absolutely not. Are you kidding me? The thing is that the hybrid publisher is a publisher that doesn't pay in advance. It takes in advance. So the author has to pay for his book to be published. And if you pay a little bit more, if you buy one of their packages, then you get a better royalty return. You earn a little bit more. And the question is, well, is it enough to make a difference? And judging from the amount that they're asking, and judging from just a quick superficial overview of the company's offerings, the answer is no. Not even close. And so I went off on this whole idea of hybrid publishing. In theory, it's a hybrid publisher is somebody who does both the traditional publishing, where they take a book and then they incur all the risk for it, and then, you know, do the cover and the art and layout and design and editing, and then put the book into various storefronts and pay a minimum amount of royalty to the author based on sales. But the hybrid part is where they take a self-publishing author and for a fee and some a la carte options, they will do pretty much the same thing, except because it's self-publisher, because the self-publisher is paying them in advance, they'll quote, self-publish, unquote, the book. Except that they don't self-publish the book, they publish the book. And that was the thing that got me, because there are more and more of these companies that claim to be self-publishers. And it makes me a little squicky, because it's like, look, you didn't write this book, so you're not a self-publisher. This is somebody else's work that you're publishing. That makes you not a self-publisher, that makes you a publisher. And your vanity press, if you charge the person to produce the books for them, and you make actually your money from producing the books and selling them back, or selling the services that produce the books back to the author, not from actually selling books. And I classify that really as much more of a scam. That's what Author House does. It's like, they don't make their money from selling books, because they don't sell any books. They make their money from selling services to authors. And they do it in a way that is not exactly forthcoming. It's not exactly on the up and up. They are pretty transparent about what they charge, because they want you to pay it. But they also do a little bit of bait and switch. It's like, okay, well, we're going to charge you $5,000 for this package, but if you really want to, you really want your book to succeed, you really need to throw this extra thing on here for another $3,000, and then you'll be positioned better because you'll have better cover art. Oh, and then there's this advanced editing that we'll go through and do some advanced editing for you, so that you're guaranteed that you'll have a much better product on the shelf, and it just keeps going. And there. Editors are really not editors, they're marketers. They get your phone number and then they call you and then upsell you these packages that don't really do anything. So that's really scammy. That's really scummy. And the people who are using the hybrid publisher are kind of falling into that same sort of skeeviness. One of the responses I got was from somebody who's really into She Writes Press, which is a hybrid publisher, which is basically, you know, I have the same problem with it as I have with Promontory Press. It's not really, I don't know how to break this to you, but this is not. It's not hybrid publishing. There isn't really such a thing as hybrid publishing. It's if you produce goods for sale, you're a publisher. If you produce books for sale, you're a publisher. You might be a self-publisher if the books you produce for sale are. If you produce books for sale and they're your books, and only your books, you might be a self-publisher. If you produce books for sale and even one of them isn't your book, isn't a book that you wrote, you're just a publisher, that's it. And the rest is all just contracts. So this idea that there might be this thing called hybrid publishers, like, that was my big hot button issue for yesterday. There is no such thing as a hybrid publisher. It's just people who are trying to take advantage of naive authors by convincing them that this is something new and different. And because it's something new and different, it's actually worth the amount of money you're going to spend on it. Yeah, I'm not sure I buy it. In fact, I'm pretty sure I don't buy it. I'm pretty sure that it's... Hybrid publisher is somebody who's realized that they're not going to be able to bullshit people about being a self-publishing company. So they've come up with this new term to try to hide what it is that they're doing, trying to hide what it is they're selling, to try to hide where it is they get their revenues from. And I could be wrong. There might be some that are decent. But if you're going to charge me $1,000 to accept my manuscript, and you're going to charge me a mandatory 1 to 5 cents a word on my manuscript before you'll consider it, you're not a publisher. You are a publisher, but you're a vanity press. You're not a company I want to do business with, is basically what it boils down to. It's okay, because I don't have to do business with you. Anyway, I made it. I'm at the back gate. Whew. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.